done?
Cosmic manifestation is a place of misery. It's a place of suffering. There is birth, there is death, there is disease, and there is old age. There is, people are suffering on the bodily platform, too much heat, too much cold, too much thirst, too much hunger. They are suffering on the mental platform. It's too much anxiety, too much stress, so much depression. My dear Lord, I'm feeling so sad for all of these living entities. Is there any place, on earth where these living entities can go and they will be relieved of their suffering? Lord Vishnu says, yes, there is. This special place is my personal abode. It is called Purushottam Kshetra. It is to the north of the sea and to the south of the Mahanadi River. There is a beautiful blue mountain called Neelachal. On that mountain, I will reside with Lakshmi Devi as Neel Madhav. And anyone who goes there will be delivered of all their suffering. Brahmaji is very excited. He's very enthusiastic now. He comes down to the earth planet and he's searching this place. Where is this place? He's going through all the forests and he's searching this place till he reaches Purushottam Kshetra. When he reaches this place, he sees a very, very big Kalpavriksha tree. And under that tree, he sees a water body which is called a kund. The name of this kund is Rohini Kund. And he sees that a small crow, insignificant flying bird, dipped its wings in this water and immediately transforms into this four-armed form, which is like an associate of Lord Vishnu, and immediately transcends to the Vaikuntha planets. And he is amazed. He's offering his prayers to Neel Madhav. And this entire scene is from the heavens, is watched by Yamraj. Yamraj is the son of the sun god. He comes down, he stands with Lord Brahma, and they both are praying to Neel Madhav and Lakshmi Devi. And Yamraj is saying, my dear Lord, you have put me in charge of punishing the sinful people. And here this one tiny crow is touching the water of Rohini Kund and is going, you know, back home, back to God, it's going to Vaikuntha. How will I run my business? I will be out of business. Who is going to do any sinful activity when, you know, they can get liberated? So Lakshmi Devi spoke and said, Brahma and Yamraj, please listen carefully. This is the Lord's personal abode. This is Purushottam Kshetra. Your powers and your influence is not going to work here. Whatever happens in Purushottam Kshetra is completely directly under the direction of the Lord here. You have no power. And then she turns to Brahma and says, in the future, me and Neel Madhav will disappear. There will be a very great king. His name is Indradumna Maharaj. You please help him establish my deity and build a temple for me here. Now the sages who were hearing this story from Jaimini Rishi were very curious. Said, who is this Indradumna Maharaj? How did that form of the Lord disappear and how did... what is going to happen next? So, the sage continues, Jaimini Rishi continues, and he says, Indradumna Maharaj was a very, very great king ruling the entire earth planet from his capital in Avanti Desh, which is today in Madhya Pradesh, near Ujjain. A very noble king, a very pure devotee of the Lord. So this king once was in an assembly and there were very saintly people there, along with one elderly sadhu. And King Indradumna Maharaj was expressing his heart. He said, I have all the power, I have all the wealth, I have all the popularity, I have everything, but I am still not satisfied. I want to see the Lord. The real satisfaction of life is when I see and serve the Lord. Is there any place where I can go and directly see the Lord? And to this, the elderly sadhu stood up and spoke. He said, my dear king, I can tell you of one place like that. When I was traveling, I came across this place in Purushottam Kshetra, where there is Neelachal Hills and the beautiful deity of Neela Madhav. And I stayed there for 1 year. I beg you to go and find this place and all the desires of your heart will be fulfilled. Hearing this, you can imagine, Indradumna Maharaj was extremely happy. He's very enthusiastic because all that he wanted in life was to see and serve the Lord. So he turned to his chief minister and he said, we have a task. Set out and find where is this Neelachal, where is Neela Madhav, how do we get there? Now this chief minister had a brother. His name was Vidyapati. So Vidyapati took it as his life's mission that I am going to serve the king by helping him find out where is Neel Madhav. He set out by foot. Didn't have any GPS, didn't have any flight. Started walking and through the thick jungles of Orissa, he's out there looking to search where is Neel Madhav. And he got lost. No helpline, no nothing. He was lost in the jungle. At that time, he heard conversation between a few people and he went there. And this was a group of people who live in the forests. This group was called the Shabaras. So he was welcomed very cordially, very nicely by the chief of the Shabaras. His name was Vishwavasu. So he had nowhere to go. Vishwavasu got him home, you know, took care of him very nicely. The Skanda Puran mentions that Vishwavasu was worshipping Neela Madhav. He would go out in the morning, early morning, come back, and when he would come back home, Vishwavasu would have this garland of celestial fragrant flowers which would never wilt. And he would come back with this huge plate of very delicious Mahaprasad. And since Vidyapati was now staying with him, he used to wonder, where is this coming from, you know? And then he found out that Vishwavasu is actually going every day to worship Neela Madhav. And you would wonder, right, where would he get in the middle of the forest, where would he get all these flowers and this, you know, yummy ingredients to make all this bhoga and prasad? What would happen is in the day, Vishwavasu would worship Neela Madhav, and every night, the demigods would descend and worship Neela Madhav with their, you know, fragrant flowers and their bhoga offerings cooked by the heavenly beings. Now Vidyapati was like, I am so near my goal. Vishwavasu was reluctant to take Vidyapati to show him where Neel Madhav was. Because he had heard through legends that there is going to be a king who is going to come and Neel Madhav is going to disappear and the Shabaras are not going to be able to serve him any longer. So he was very like secretive about the whole thing. In due course of time, Vidyapati gets married to Lalita, who is Vishwavasu's daughter. So now Lalita and Vidyapati are both persuasively trying to get Vishwavasu to take Vidyapati to further darshan of Neelamadhav. Says, okay, one condition. We'll blindfold him and take him. So they blindfolded Vidyapati. And Vidyapati, what he did is he had his bag of mustard seeds, the sarsoka rai. So as he went on the path with Vishwavasu, he kept dropping those seeds behind him, and he thought, when they grow and when I have to bring the king back, I will have a path which is ready. So he reaches the Neelachal area, and just in front of Neelamadhav, his blindfold is opened. And there he takes this magnificent darshan of Neelamadhav. And he's in so much ecstasy. Whatever his life's mission was, to come and find this for the king, he has achieved. So he's very, very, extremely, extremely happy. He goes back to the king. He goes back to the king and he says, my dear king, after a long time, we have found, you know, your desire is going to be fulfilled very soon. We have found where Neelamadhav is. And the king is extremely happy. Vidyapati, you did it. Announce the entire kingdom to get ready and let's go on a very grand procession. This is the goal of our life. We are going to get to see the Lord face to face. So there was a huge grand procession. The king sat on a very royal elephant, and there were brahmanas chanting mantras, there were musicians who were singing, dancing. The entire kingdom was so excited that Maharaj Indradumna is finally going to go and see Neelamadhav. At that time, Narad Muni comes, and the king gets off, he welcomes Narad Muni. They have a dialogue on what real bhakti or what real devotional service is all about. And Narad Muni is explaining to Indradumna Maharaj that there are different types of people who worship the Lord in different ways, but the highest is someone who is worshipping the Lord and doing devotional service without any expectation or any motivation in return. And saying thus, Indradumna Maharaj tells Narad Muni that we are now on our way to see Neelamadhav. Would you like to join us? And Narad Muni is very happy. He goes along with the whole procession. After very many days, they reach Bhubaneswar on foot. So when they reach Bhubaneswar, which is a temple of Lord Shiva, Indradumna Maharaj worships Lord Shiva there. And Lord Shiva is now appearing in front of Indradumna Maharaj. And he says that in this region of Bhubaneswar, Neelachal and Purushottam Kshetra that you have come, there is a deity of Narasimha Dev. Do you all know Narasimha Dev? Right? The personality of Godhead who came out of the pillar to protect Prahlad. So he says, there is a deity of Narasimha Dev. Please find that deity first. Make a temple and worship Narasimha Dev there. After that, perform 1,000 Ashwamedha Yajnas, which is a very, very elaborate process. You know, doing Yajnas and doing, getting brahmanas, getting ingredients, very elaborate process. So he had to do 1,000 such Yajnas. And then he was to proceed. Actually, a little before this, when they enter the region, Indradumna Maharaj is telling Narad Muni that my left eye is pulsating. It's twitching. And my left arm is also twitching and pulsating. What could be this inauspicious sign? Why would I get this in this place? So Narad Muni is telling him that, my dear king, The reason that you're seeing all these inauspicious signs is because there was a sandstorm, and in that sandstorm, the deity of Neela Madhav has disappeared. It's not there. It's gone. This sentence was like lightning on Indradyumna Maharaj's heart. He fell unconscious. He says, what is the use of my life? Narad Muni is saying mantras, putting water on him, bringing him back to consciousness. And Indradyumna Maharaj is like, I have no reason to live. My entire purpose of life was to come and take darshan of Neela Madhav. And now you're saying he's disappeared. I am going to coronate my son as the king, and I am going to fast until death here. And Narad Muni very lovingly and kindly told him, do not get discouraged. Don't feel so upset. There is a divine plan. There is a divine plan waiting for you. The Lord is going to appear in a very unique form. Don't get disheartened. And when he's, you know, consoled like this by Narad Muni, and he said, now you please go ahead and do your Ashwamedha Yajnas. So the king sets out, he finds the deity of Narasimhadeva, a very ferocious ancient deity. They build a temple and worship Narasimhadev there, and he starts doing his 1000 Yajnas. At the end, almost nearing the end of the 1000th Yajna, Indradyumna Maharaj has a dream. And in that dream, he sees Shweta Dweep. He sees Lord Vishnu lying on Anantashesh. Anantashesh has 1000 hoods, and his feet are being massaged by Lakshmi Devi, and he sees all this in his dream. And he sees that the Lord is glancing upon him with so much love and devotion. When he wakes up and he narrates this dream to Narad Muni, and he says, what am I to make of this? And Narad Muni says that because you are almost ending your 1000th Ashwamedha Yajna, the Lord is going to reciprocate with you very soon and give you his darshan. So this gives a lot of encouragement to Indradyumna Maharaj. And then there was a group of people who come to him and say, Maharaj, Maharaj, there's something very extraordinary that's happened. You'll want to know? I can't. You'll want to know?
Yes.
Okay. So they call the king and they say, can you smell something really nice? And the king and all the people say, yeah, this is a very, very nice fragrance coming from the sea. And they all rushed towards the sea, and then they see in the sea a huge tree. Oh my God, that rhymes, no? So they see in the sea a huge tree. When that tree, it's effulgent, it's shining, and this tree is coming nearer and nearer. When it comes close enough, they can see the symbols of Lord Vishnu on that tree. And Indradyumna Maharaj is like, now what is this? And Narad Muni says, this is the Lord that has come in the form of this tree to reciprocate with your desires. One hair of Lord Vishnu has fallen, and this is the form that it has assumed. And upon the orders of Narad Muni, King Indradyumna Maharaj goes, takes a bath, and they pull out this magnificent tree, place it on an altar. It's called the Mahavedi. Place the tree on that altar. Now the biggest question, who's going to carve? who's going to come and work on this wood? So there was a very old man. This old man was actually Vishwakarma. He comes in the disguise of this old man and he says, I will carve. But I have my conditions. When I start carving, I want complete privacy. Locked doors. No eating. I am not going to be eating. I am not going to be drinking. I don't want anybody coming in. I am not going to come out. I don't want anyone to even hear the sound of the chiseling. Have some loud music, kirtan outside, and I want absolutely no disturbance. Whatever he said was agreed to, and the king is now waiting. 15 days. Okay, he's waiting today, tomorrow. Someday the carpenter is going to come out and, you know, we're going to have this beautiful forms ready. He's waiting. There was no sign. There was absolutely nothing that was, you couldn't hear, nobody was coming out, nobody could go in. He waited for 15 days, nothing happened. He kept waiting. Now he was very anxious. So King Indradumna and his Queen Gundicha, they were in anxiety. And finally he opened the door. When he opened the door, there was no one inside except three unfinished carved forms. There was no hands, there was no feet. And Indradumna Maharaj was cursing himself. He said, oh my God, I was warned by the carpenter to not disturb him. Look what I have done. He is not there anymore and this work is so incomplete. I have been so impatient. I have been so disobedient to the carpenter who did this great job. I am going to fast until death. I have done something so wrong. At that time, Narada Muni appears and he tells him, my dear king, don't worry. This is the complete form of Lord Jagannath, Baladev and his sister Subhadra, which I had seen in Dwarka. So he narrates Chaya pastime here and he shares that, don't worry, this is the form in which the Lord manifests his most intimate ecstasy of separation, love and separation from the Vrijavasis. This is his Mahabhav form. So this is what it's meant to be. The forms of Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra are meant to have these big eyes and their hands and feet inside their limbs. Darshan is closed now, but when you see on the altar, there is a picture of Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra who manifested in this form. So when he heard this from Narada Muni, the king was a little pacified. And at that time, there was a voice in the sky. And this voice in the sky told the king that you must build a very big temple for these deities. Immediately, Maharaj Indradumna got the best architects. The entire treasury of the entire kingdom was spent on building the most magnificent temple. When it was ready, Narad Muni told Indradumna Maharaj that I am now going to go to Brahma Lok to invite Lord Brahma to perform the installation ceremony. Installation ceremony is basically when you have deities, then you have a lot of rituals and mantras where you invite the Lord to come and reside in the deity form. So for this, he said, I'm going to go to Brahma Lok. Indradumna Maharaj said, can I please come also? Narada Muni said, yes. At that time a divine chariot appeared and they boarded that chariot and they went from the earthly planet, crossing all the Janaloka, Tapaloka, Swargaloka, all then reached Brahmalok. The gatekeeper stopped them. You know, what? So says, oh, this is Narad Muni, you know, we've come to invite Lord Brahma. He says, but Brahmaji will be very happy to meet you. You will have to wait for a few minutes. He is busy singing the glories of Lord Krishna. And when he is singing the glories of Lord Krishna, he doesn't want to be disturbed. So they wait for a few minutes. And after some time, they are let in. And Narad Muni explains to Lord Brahma the whole story and invites him to come and install the deities of Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra. And Brahmaji is very happy. He says, the love and devotion of Indradumna Maharaj is so great, I will be very happy and I will come down to do this ceremony. He says, but my dear king, be forewarned that one tiny moment of Brahmaloka is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years on the earthly planet, because time is very different on this planet and up there on Brahmaloka. So now that you've come here and you have waited for a few minutes, thousands of your descendants have come and gone. But you still go and you make all the arrangements. So he comes down and the temple is still there. The deities are still sitting on the Mahavedi. Nobody knows who is this king. And then they start the process of the Abhishek. They have a magnificent ceremony. They perform the Abhishek of Lord Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra. They have Vishwakarma come and build three chariots. Now these three chariots were built so that the Lord can be taken from the Mahavedi to the altar. They have a huge ceremony. They have singing, they have dancing, and a lot of pomp and festivities. Then Lord Brahma comes and he performs the entire installation ceremony for Lord Jagannath. And according to the Skanda Puran, this was the first ever Rath Yatra that happened. And ever since, every year in Jagannath Puri, there is a festival of the Rath Yatra. This is happened since generations and time immemorial. The one this year is happening on 25th of June. You know, so the Lord had this divine plan of appearing on this earth in this form. Now for all of us sitting here, honestly, if it was not for the efforts and the movement that His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the entire ISKCON world would not have known, or any of us would not have known who is Jagannath, except outside of maybe, you know, people in Orissa or Puri would have known. But outside of that, the whole world would not have known. So, how did Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra be manifest, or what was the divine plan of the Lord to manifest in America? So when Srila Prabhupada went from here to the West, he went on a ship, taking up a lot of effort in that old age, at the age of 70, you know, going all the way to the United States. He didn't have temples already built and ready for him and disciples waiting for him. He had a very few people, out of which there was one girl at that time. Her name is Malati Devi. So she was wandering the streets of United States She entered into a shop. They didn't have any money. These were all, you know, young Americans who had no money at all, you know, just following what Swamiji is saying. So she entered one of these stores, and this was this very hippie culture kind of a store, you know, where things would be very inexpensive. So she entered that store and she saw they had three big barrels of small dolls. So when she went there, she had no money. So she picked up one of them, and they were very, very pretty, you know, very colorful, very, you know, cute, very small. And she read a sticker on that that said, "Made in India." For them, anything connected to India was connected to Swamiji, to Prabhupada. So she became very excited. She said, "Oh my God, I have to show this or tell Swamiji that this is something that I've really, really seen here." She quietly slipped the black doll in her pocket and she left. And she went and she showed this and she kept it on like the table of Srila Prabhupada. And as soon as Srila Prabhupada saw this small black doll, he offered his complete obeisances, his dandavats. And Malati Devi is wondering, like, this small doll in this small shop, you know, what is Swamiji's offering? Obeisances? So he offered obeisances and he's telling Malati Devi, "Were there two more?" So she says, "There are hundreds of them more, big, big barrels." So he says, "No, no, no. Two more. One white and one yellow." And then she understood. She says, "Yes, yes, there was so much more, you know." So he says, "Bring them." So she goes back to the store and then she gets Baladev and Subhadra. And, you know, Prabhupada ji explains to all his Western disciples the story of how Jagannath appeared. And then he tells Malati Devi's husband at that time, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, that, "Can you carve big size deities of these small dolls?" And this is something he's never done before, you know. And Malati Devi is explaining, when she told us this story, that when they were following Srila Prabhupada, they only wanted to make Swamiji happy. Whatever Srila Prabhupada desired was their desire to fulfill. They wanted to make him happy. So Shyam Sundar Prabhu said, "I can try." You know, so then he carved the very first deities in the United States, and they had their first Rath Yatra. Very simple. There was no mantras and recitation. They had the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. They didn't even have a chariot. They had a truck. You know, so they put the deities of Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra on that chariot and had their first Rath Yatra in 1967 in San Francisco. So this year marks the 50th year of the first Rath Yatra in United States. And like that, Srila Prabhupada established Jagannath Rath Yatra festivals in almost every major city around the world. Every major city around the world has this beautiful festival of Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, which is showing the love of Jagannath, of Krishna, for his devotees of Vrindavan. So this was the divine plan, and I'm very grateful for all of you for coming and being part of this event. We have 5 minutes for any questions or comments. I was asked to give 5 minutes to. Yes.
Please take the mic. Haribol, I just wanted to ask you, as you mentioned about the Ratha Yatra and all, I am an archaeology student. So we just go everywhere. 2 years back, we went to Hampi, where there is a Vitthala temple. And even they have the ratha, stone ratha, chariot. So I just wanted to ask you that, as you mentioned that even Jagannath Puri has the this thing, but do they have the stone one? I haven't went there.
Okay.
So I just need to ask that.
Okay. So the rath that is made till today in Jagannath Puri is a new rath every year. They start building these chariots on Akshaya Tritiya, the first day they start, you know, making the rath, and they make 3 separate chariots. And the beauty of these chariots is that there is not a single screw or nut and bolt. It is just wood that is carved so well, it kind of fits, you know, one inside the other. And they have the entire Rath Yatra on new chariots. Once it is done, once Lord Jagannath is taken from, you know, the temple, this chariot is broken down and they use the wood as their cooking fuel, as their firewood for the entire year. The entire year's cooking happens on the wood that is broken down from the rath. Thank you. Yes. Please take the mic.
Hello. Everyone says that we should worship God selflessly without worrying about the fruit or whatever we'll gain back. So then, why would we worship God? We can worship our parents, we can worship anyone. Why God?
If Very we nice question.
Get anything. I mean, even if we do it selflessly, in the end we think that we'll get, you know, salvation and all. But we can't do it selflessly.
Correct. Have a seat. So that was the most highest platform of loving the Lord. It's not that that is the only way. An example that I can tell you is of Dhruv. Have you heard the story of Dhruv? The story of a 5-year-old boy is basically he wanted a kingdom bigger than his father. It's a long story, but you know, we just have a few minutes till Aarti begins. So Dhruv wanted a bigger kingdom than his father. He wanted to be more rich and wealthy and powerful. So his mother told him that, look, I cannot help you. You have to pray to Lord Vishnu. So he goes in the jungle and he prays to Lord Vishnu because he was insulted very badly by his stepmother. So he was really, really determined that I have to get, you know, this in return. I want this. So when he started going to the forest, he met Narad Muni. And Narad Muni said, why are you doing all these things in the jungle? You know, you go home and you play. He says, no, I want to see the Lord. I have a mission. I want to, you know, ask him for this huge kingdom. And then Narad Muni sees his determination and gives him the mantra, and he says, you go to Madhuvan and you start, you know, praying. So all along he prayed with this motive to get, you know, thing in return. So long story short, when he got the darshan of the Lord appeared to him in 6 months, he got the beautiful darshan of the Lord, and the Lord blessed him with the entire Vedic knowledge. And that's when he says this prayer that, my dear Lord, I was looking for pieces of glass. When I wanted something from you, it was like me looking for some pieces of broken glass. But when I saw your darshan, when I understood the essence of life to serve you, to love you, I got that rare diamond. I don't want these broken pieces of glass. Nevertheless, the Lord did bless him with a very huge Dhruv Tara, and he did give him like a lot of opulences. But the love and devotion that you perform towards the Lord and the satisfaction that you get is much, much higher than you would get when you ask for things or situations from the Lord, which He will give you anyways. He is our most loving, you know, Father. He will not not give. But when we ask for pure bhakti, that is the highest. So, as I said, you know, there were many stages that Narad Muni was talking about. Not that, like, if you want to ask something, then you also ask that from Krishna. That's what Dhruv did. You know, his mother said, if you want to ask for your kingdom, don't go around asking anybody else. Go to Krishna and ask Him. Not only will He give you your desire, but He will also, along with that, give you His pure devotional service.
Thank you. It was a nice answer.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we can have. You have announcements? Yes.
Actually, this is not related to the topic. We are out of the topic question. I am being little distracted from inside. Actually, I am preparing for my post-graduation. And I during my studies, actually, I feel very distracted by other things. Lot of things, like many things. Like, uske saath ye ho raha hai, iske saath ye ho raha hai, ya jo bhi, whatever. So, how to control myself? If you can... tell me in 2 minutes.
Okay, very quickly, because okay, we'll have to do aarti. So the mind, the word in Hindi for mind is man, right? So this is something that even Arjun asked Krishna, that look, I cannot control the mind. It is so fast, it is so obsolete, it is just all over the place. You know, mind travels so fast. So the easiest form of controlling or subduing or relaxing or whatever you may call it for the mind is mantra. One that helps kabu for the mind, you know. So chanting mantras helps control the mind, builds concentration, gets you free from distractions. The Maha Mantra in this age of Kali Yuga that is most recommended and most effective. You know, you have medicines that is bimari mein, this is the most recommended medicine. So for this age and this time and this era of mass distraction is the Maha Mantra, which is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. A certain number of times when you sit down and repeat this, do this for, you know, a few months. Try it out and see how you feel. Yeah? Thank you so much. And now we all will sing and dance for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Radha Gopinath Ji. Thank you so much.
Just a few announcements before that. So we would like to welcome all the girls who have come for the first time for the Chetna festival today. Would like to kindly request them to stand on in